Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. Get ready because March's shipment is one of the best nuts yet. You'll get two hand-rolled Mark Garagos-approved cigars delivered in a custom wood box. A Did You Feed the Dog calendar, so you'll never forget to not starve your dog. A pack of Sabel's chocolate chip cookies. Four custom Delta Fu shot glasses, so you can make the most of your day wasted. And of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out.
An action-packed show.
Big.
With a homoerotic overtone.
Yeah, it's kind of nerve-wracking, but sort of alluring, if you will.
You know, strike overtones. It's not really overtones.
It really
is. Simply homoeroticism.
It kind of is.
Is the theme
That's
of this
right.
show.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to squint to see it. It's there.
You're watching the accident as you drive by. That's, let's put it that way.
No, you're in it. You're in the accident.
Yeah, thanks to Geico.
First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Tommy John, they don't give an F. They give three of them: fabric, fit, and function. I'm wearing mine, right?
Yeah.
What am I wearing?
Jeez, what do you got today?
Oh,
holy mackerel.
Festive.
Jeez,
festive.
Candy Cane Lane, move over.
Yeah, I'm
wearing
mine right now. I'm not wearing the undershirt. I usually wear the undershirt. I wear the undershirts underneath any jackets or, you know, whenever,
no one sees
whenever
your
you're
sweat.
Going out.
They don't see you.
No, it's beautiful. No wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay-put waistbands. Luxurious soft feather-like moisture-wicking breathable fabrics designed to move with you. They're so good. You won't go back.
No.
It's all the best. It's super light, and it dries really fast. Like I said, I hit the rowing machine at night for a half hour, work a little froth up.
Sure.
I hang them out in my bathroom, and they're just dry the next day. Just put them on.
Couldn't
what
be better.
The, what the hell? You want to go online, go to TommyJohn.com. If you want to buy them in person, they have 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores nationwide. It's Tommy John, right, Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Get it on.
Get it on in this climate of getting it on.
Love it. Stromer
yes,
in studio. We're
going to
take some questions. We had dreams.
Dreams. I had a dream last night about Adam. I woke up at about 5:30 this morning and I was all dewy.
I had a dream about Matt, the Porcelain Punisher.
What did he do? What did he do to you this time?
TommyJohn.com/AdamandGeico.com is where you go. I had to write this thing down.
Let's hear it.
I was in my old house, the house I grew up in.
Ooh.
But I wasn't there as a child.
You mean they called the stabbing cabin?
I was there as an adult. And my mom was in her bedroom and there was a fire or something. It started in the kitchen.
Yeah.
The band Blink 182.
Of course they did.
Play.
Yeah, they did.
And Matt and I were gay, but neither one of us were gay. And we didn't really want to be gay, but it's like, I guess.
Just to try it, I guess.
I don't know if you guys ever had one of those.
I dreamt that I had sex with my grandfather once in the anus.
Oh, really? Wow. We were like, it was like somebody, really?
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
You know why? Because a friend of mine told me that his dad or his grandfather at the dinner table, who was this macho fireman for years in San Francisco, said at the family dinner, I was wanting to know what it would be like to hang my dick in a man. And everyone was like, wait, what? And then I had a dream the next night.
I guess I don't know what prompted my gay dream with Matt. It was like somebody. It was more like one of those movies where there's like that judge where they go, you don't get along with your neighbor, and you don't. I command that you two live together for 1 year. Like, oh, it was like somebody commanded, like, sure, you had to be gay.
Uh-huh.
And we're both kind of there, like, I don't know if I want to be gay, I guess. But I guess we have to be gay.
It was the court weird. Said so. We have to.
The court said so.
Matt, it's the law, for Christ's sake. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know where Blink 182. The Blink 182 part, I was able to kind of trace back to, we're going to do like a Corolla family, Corolla drinks picnic thing over here, and the Offspring, I think, is going to play. So I think maybe I was thinking about the Offspring.
Sure.
But Blink 182 was around, and they want to know like where to set up,
man.
Oh, no, you know, I think the Blink 182 thing was, is I was watching, I was having this meeting with ICBM or whatever the fuck that new agencies are on the other side of the hill, whatever
yeah,
they are,
yeah.
William Morris Endeavor, and we were showing a trailer for the K-Rock doc we're working on, and there was a Blinks in there. Like,
oh,
we wouldn't
sure
be where we were.
Okay, but
K-Rock.
What song? I know the audience is on the edge of their seats. What song would Blink-182 play to christen your first gay experience?
First date.
Well, that's Blink song. There you go. So, but I don't know how we got into my mom's old house, yeah, and I'm not sure why there was a fire. But we're in the house, and it was like
because the heat is hot. That's why there's fire.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Very symbolic.
Yeah.
And then my mom was in the bedroom sleeping, and I remember like there was a fire, and I was kind of like, I don't want to wake her. Like, maybe we'll get the fire out. Yeah. That's about as far as I got with it. But it was a weird ass dream.
So stupid.
I miss sports related dreams.
I know. This is a fantastic thing. I'm inspired by this, and I'll never look at the two of you the same again.
Man, so I walk in there.
That's the one. And this is Matt running around and you chasing him really fast, naked.
Yeah. I don't know how gay dreams work.
I don't either, but I'll tell you, the experience of coming out of a soft slumber and realizing I just had sex with my grandfather it was a little off-putting.
What was your dream about me?
Well, my dream about you was that you were basically the same as in real life. You were basically telling me I wasn't doing it right.
You call that a Morris Stromer?
Exactly. And I was like, fuck, oh my God.
Why are you using
a
chisel on that mortise? Get a router, dude, and set the depth.
What the fuck? Timely jams. Are you an idiot? That's what I woke up to.
Put a screw through the center of a timely jam.
Yeah, you're basically like my Coswell Cogs.
Uh-huh.
That guy. What was his name? The boss in the Jetsons, remember?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Spacely.
That's what... Just yelling at me.
Space, there weren't cogs. It was
Spacely
Sprockets. Yeah. Cosmo Spacely was his name, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a feeling of impending, that I was wrong and impending doom was to fall.
What Stromer's thinking of is the competitor, Mr. Cogswell, owner of the rival company, Coswell Cogs.
Yeah. Oh, that one made cogs and the other made sprockets.
Yeah. Which... Big hit. By the way, they predicted the iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, it was a great time. It was a weird time because I'd sit around and I'd watch those shows, and the boss was always yelling at everyone, Spacely, get in my office now!
Yeah.
Like all the boss did was yell at everyone who worked for them, and then everyone who worked with them was scared shitless of them.
Yeah.
And there was no episode where like Mr. Spacely told George Jetson to clean his office 13 times, and eventually Mr. Spacely came in on Saturday and cleaned it himself.
No.
They didn't have that episode.
No.
But in between those vignettes, the TV commercials would be, you know, the wife's worried because the husband didn't have a second cup of her coffee.
Yeah.
And the mother-in-law would come in for end dust and put the white glove on and drag it along the top of the door jamb or along the top of the casing and be like, dust?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And the wife was paranoid or that the house wasn't clean
enough.
Remember
the one fish last night?
Oh, they're coming. Yeah. The wife was scared. Here's what the wife was scared of.
Yeah.
She was scared the house wasn't clean enough for the mother-in-law. And I don't mean organized and vacuumed. I mean she's up on the counter dragging her fingers along the top of the cabinets to make sure there's no dust up there. The wife was scared. Here's what the wife was fearful of when I was growing up. She was super scared that if the boss came over for dinner, that she would somehow screw dinner up.
And then he'd get
fired.
The boss,
it had to be perfect.
Right.
Dinner had to be perfect. The mother-in-law was going to come over and put on a white glove. The mother-in-law had a white glove in her purse and a can of end dust in her purse as well. And she would she was going to full boot camp inspection.
Problem solution, right?
She was scared that she couldn't get grass stains out of the kids' clothes or the ring around her husband's collar. Like when he got that ring for the dresser, she was scared of that.
Yeah.
She was scared that we'd go out to dinner and we'd go to a friend's house. And that when the friend, the wife of the friend, offered up a second cup of coffee, she was humiliated that the husband took a second cup because he didn't take a second of hers.
And had an internal voice.
Oh, she was
that
like,
was on an echo chamber.
Never has a second. Yeah. These were all the things that I thought was going to happen.
Yet,
and then I got married.
Yeah.
And then I became the boss. And none of these things happened.
No.
None.
Your childhood dreams are shattered.
It's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Like I hired my nephew, and then he quit and wrote me a shitty email.
No.
There was no me yelling, get my office so I can scream at you. We didn't have any.
I've had that experience hiring family, and they just blow it, and then the whole family system is in a little turmoil.
And nobody's tried to get the ring out of my collars either.
And what about the way you'd get caught cheating is if someone put lipstick, kissed your collar, and it stayed on. Who would do that? But that was the thing, the reveal.
Well, the good news is my collars were so dirty with ring around the collar that I'd just go out in wife beaters, and so I could cheat all I wanted. Oh, wait, here's the commercial. She's worried.
Yeah.
You're right. The internal monologue's the best part.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, sure you can't stay for more coffee?
It's late, and Jim never has a second cup.
You know, I'd love another cup.
Jim never had seconds of my coffee. And I made pretty good coffee.
Mm.
But that night, we both discovered Uban.
Uban. Special coffee. Because it's made with special
beans. Imagine your wives fretting about you and your coffee consumption.
Oh,
I'm
my Lord.
I get up like there's no coffee. Tell Olga to make coffee then. Fretting. Also, that's quite a slamming party they got going on. Everyone's drinking fucking coffee
Uban.
At 10 o'clock at night. Anyone want to crack a beer at some point?
Yeah, but then in some other neighborhoods, they would all put their key in a bowl and someone would go home with, like Matt Fondelier's mom would go home with someone else's dad.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
That's a swingers party?
That was a swing. Maybe it was a swingers, and they were just getting hopped up to drive home after all that physical exertion.
They didn't want to get whiskey dick.
No, they didn't.
Interesting. I never spun it that
way.
Well,
I did.
It's interesting.
You should have, with all those evocative images in your subconscious.
That's true. Super evocative. Khan is calling in from Burbank.
Yeah, he is.
Khan, 32.
Hey, how's it going?
Colin.
Yeah,
I'm
putting a can crusher up on my wall, but I don't want it to fuck up the drywall when it comes off.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
One of those handle things for recycling?
Exactly. It's like this big cast iron son of a bitch.
Yeah, you do
it. And it pushes into the wall, right?
No, it just
it's got to be screwed in.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, what do you mean? All right, so let me figure this out. You're putting this in your kitchen?
Yeah, essentially. It's just going to be over the trash can, so don't have to take out the bags all the time.
Colin, you've come to the right place.
Yes, you
my
have,
friend.
Good. Glad
now, you say you don't want to fuck up the drywall, but obviously you got to drill into the drywall to mount this thing, right?
Yeah, I could live with the holes. You know, I could just put some putty in the holes or whatever. It's a rented apartment, so I'm not stressed about that. But I don't want all around the edges, and then every time I pull on the handle, it's going to be pulling shit off.
Yeah. Well, the way you have to do this, if you want to sort of take that load and kind of spread it out, find a stud. That would be good. Mm-hmm. How big is the base of this thing? 8-10 inches?
Say it's about a foot long and maybe about 4 inches wide.
Okay. Oh, okay. Why don't you go to Home Depot and buy like a plywood or an MDF, like particle board circle, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm, a 1-foot by 1-foot circle. Just that I think they sell shapes.
Yeah, they do squares. I know that.
I think they have mm-hmm circles and they have squares.
Yeah.
And paint it up and take this mm-hmm circle and put one screw in the middle of it into the stud and then mm-hmm drill a hole in it. Yeah, what do we got over there at Lowe's?
They 3/4 inch thick, 24 inch wide circle.
Oh, no, 24 is too big. We need 1 foot. We need a smaller.
They sell the squares that are 2x2.
We need a smaller circle somewhere. But
that would be a craft shop.
Here's like 10 Michael, inch at Michael's Joann's fabric.
Yeah, 10 inch at mm-hmm Joann's fabric.
Yeah. $3.
All right, easy.
So the idea will be like a 3/4 inch circular base to kind of even out the
yeah,
load.
It'll look better. It'll look better. Pop one mm-hmm screw in the middle. Don't put any glue or anything on the back of it. Pop one in the mm-hmm middle. Make sure you find your stud. Then do your lag with your upper and your lower through the circle and into the stud.
Sorry, you're over my head now. Lag?
Oh, boy. You know I even what? Understood that. That's
sorry,
just sad.
You know what else too? They sell the sheet metal in squares, which mm-hmm have adhesive on the back.
But
you
the
could just
sheet,
put you could just
the
put that underneath, mm-hmm, and then attach through that into the stud. Same principle that you had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you know you've got then it protects the drywall from getting the can if the cans have beer left over they don't, it won't drip on the drywall.
He's a Diet Pepsi.
That's
man.
A good point.
You know what I mean?
Oh. Mm-hmm. You can do a few versions of this. When I say lag, I mean wood screw.
Yeah.
You know the word
three,
wood
like
screw?
Like a 3-inch wood
okay,
screw.
Okay, okay. Uh-huh.
You know, all the way through.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
Find the stud, though.
Paint
get
it
right
white.
Into it.
You got to get in that stud.
Make it a circle. Gotcha. Put a face of Adam and I in the center of it. Every yeah time you crush your can, you see us.
You're in Burbank. You're in an apartment. There's definitely wood studs in that wall.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right,
I appreciate the help. My dad was a contractor. I'm ashamed not to know more about it.
Yeah, your dad. Is he alive?
Your dad was a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if he hears this call, he's not going to be long for this one. He's going to jump off a building.
Yeah, he is.
His boy is like, doesn't know what a lag is.
Well, it's a trade-off. He just got a Tesla and doesn't know how to use it.
Ooh. Oh, I like this. All right, thanks, Colin.
And yeah, what you were saying about the commercials and everything, I had the same experience, you know, growing up with these, I'm younger than you, of course, but the Lunchables, little squares of processed meat and crackers are going to make you cool and have all these friends at school, and you go to the grocery store and you think, no, this isn't going to do it. Your mom doesn't buy it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
The reality just doesn't match up to that Don Draper shit.
What did your mom, what'd you do for lunch when you were a kid? What'd your mom do?
I had Pillsbury Space Sticks. You remember those?
Yeah, space sticks were
they were in a tube per container, and they have different flavors, and they were literally tubes of some matter.
Did Pillsbury made those?
Pillsbury space sticks, food
yeah
sticks. Yeah,
zero.
But they call them space sticks for a minute.
Well, they have it at space bars.
Like, yeah, there it is. There it is. Space food sticks.
Zero nutrition.
Yep, nothing.
Zero
but
nutrition.
Inspired by the Apollo missions.
What else did you go to school with? Like what kind of sandwich?
I would have rarely would have sandwiches. We had lunch program, hot lunch program, which was pretty darn good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you pay for the hot lunch?
Well, the before school would start, it was like a nickel. It was nothing. Very inexpensive.
before school.
I mean,
would
like
start.
Your parents would sort of sign you up for the program
and give them $20, and that would cover the year.
That would basically cover everything.
What would you get?
Tacos.
Mm-hmm.
It was ground beef on a taco shell, and I thought that was exotic coming from the Midwest. I'd never heard of Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
It was something exotic.
So the parents would sign you up prepay,
yeah,
and then you were good for the year.
You were good for the year.
Do you have,
either
they
go
have
or
to
not.
Show them your ID or something
you
in
did
line?
For the first couple of days, and then they'd get to know you. Why? Because you were horsing around in line.
That's right.
And they'd go, Strummer, get to the principal's office.
Right, but they knew who
but
you
they
were.
They knew who you were, yeah.
I had... It
were you a horsing around kid? Like, did you get caught and get busted most of the time, or were you someone that was able to sidestep all the drama?
I did a lot of popping off,
yeah.
And it was kind of weird because I couldn't read or write or whatever, so I was trying to keep kind of a low profile,
sure,
you know,
not call attention.
And my family sort of poor and depressed and weird and kind of a mess. So I was just trying to act like I was normal,
right,
even though nothing was normal,
yeah,
you know, in my world,
yeah,
you know. But I was always super hungry. It was a problem.
Hungry and quiet.
I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And my parents didn't really... They didn't really make lunch, and they also didn't give you money.
Yeah.
So
they didn't have a hot lunch program in the schools here.
They may have, but you would have had to pay for that.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't pay for anything. So I had a, I think my thing was, let's see if I got this figured out. In Colfax Elementary, I got signed up for the free lunch poor kid ticket, where
gotcha.
I got like the ticket. The breakfast ticket and the lunch ticket or something.
Right.
That I remember. The food was horrible, but I remember that. And then when I got to junior high, I had befriended... We kind of knew someone who worked in the snack shack or whatever, and we could go over there and coax her into giving us a hot cake or giving us like a sweet roll or
sure.
something like
yeah.
that. Then... I also would just bum food off my friends. Like, I just sit with my Jewish friends whose parents made them lunches, but they didn't have much of an appetite.
Sure.
The Jewish kids were, like, little, and they didn't eat that much.
Yeah,
so you
took the sandwich.
Nate Wittenberg, can I have the other half of your peanut butter and jelly, or can I have a bite? Like, I just sort of bum food off people.
Yeah.
And then later, I went to North Hollywood High, and I would just pack my own lunch.
What'd you make?
I would hard boil like 6 eggs and get like a packet of raisins or banana or something. I wasn't any good at making a sandwich. We didn't really have sandwich material. But I could hard-boil the eggs.
And did you do the thing where you'd drink the milk carton and then you'd fold it down, the top down, and then step on it perfectly and explode it?
I didn't have – when I was in junior high and high school, I didn't have milk because that was part of the – that would have been part of the program or part of the whatever.
Right.
So I just hard-boiled eggs and just eat hard-boiled eggs.
That's inspired by Sylvester Stallone, right?
Well, a little bit. I was trying to make the football team, and I was working out hard and all that kind of stuff. And I figured that the eggs would be a good thing.
That's right.
So I did that. And
did you get in fights?
No, not at that stage. Probably later on as an adult. And then we didn't have anything to eat at my house that was good. You know, there wasn't like I'd come home and there'd be like turkey or pot roast or something. We didn't.
It was nothing.
No, my mom didn't cook, but my parents were divorced.
Well, how did she feed Zorbach?
Zorbach?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he just ran off a good vine with a little hemp seed oil. My stepmom didn't really cook either.
Yeah.
And
who's that? Dad, I don't know about the stepmom.
My dad didn't eat. My dad doesn't.
Who's the stepmom? Is she still around?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't she buy the trumpet?
Oh. I think she wants the money for her.
Oh, yeah, to get the food.
Well, my dad's not a good provider, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But he didn't eat. You know, my dad would eat for dinner.
Yeah,
he'd eat cottage cheese with raisins,
and that's it.
That's what my dad would eat for dinner.
And you didn't get anything. You just look at him like, huh.
Well, I, of course, wanted, like, pot roast, yeah. you know? Yeah. I go to my grandpa's house a lot and eat, like, goulash and stuff
They cooked.
My grandfather cooked every night. Yeah.
Hungarian guy?
Yeah, he cooked Hungarian food.
Jeez,
I go there and eat as much as I possibly could.
That's right.
It was awesome.
Some say, ostensibly, he saved your life.
I would say, I don't know. I've never seen my dad eat a steak or go to a steakhouse or go out to eat or do anything. It's very, very bad.
Terrible.
Well, not good. Not good if, well, look, if you like cars or building or food or tools
that's
or
not the house.
Camping or if you like motorbikes or go-karts or if you like all the stuff I like, not good.
No.
If you're 12 and you're into just sitting and reading, then maybe, and not
place.
Eating, then that'd be a good thing.
Oh, my God.
But not sports or motorbikes or any of that, not any of the stuff I like, no. All right, we have an email question, do we?
Oh, we always do. Please email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. And if you want to see the pictures, we encourage you to go to aceontheroof.com. Here's an email from Eric, obviously not our Eric.
Okay.
Hey, Ace Man Stromer, I hope all is well with you fine gentlemen. I have a low point in my backyard that gathers water every time it rains. I live in Columbus, Ohio, and we get a good amount of rainfall every year. Any recommendations on how to build up this area to prevent the water from pooling? Many thanks. Love the podcast.
You mean in that V?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I'm guessing he's showing us two angles of where the water.
I got you. I don't know. It looks to me like the V is a natural water drainage area that's going to shoot under the fence and go somewhere. Where does it go is my question. And why? And if you just fill it in with a bunch of topsoil, it's going to still go somewhere because the grade is that way, right?
We're looking at trees and some sod or some grass and then going down. And I don't know. Look, I don't know other than digging stuff up and putting a French drain in there. I don't know where this thing's going. I will say that there's a version of this that after everything dries out, you get into this low point, this V shape, you excavate, you put one of those perforated tubes, you know, PVC tubes, the ones you put the sock over it, I think.
Right.
Like I got the big hole. I don't know if it ever works. You put the sock over it, and then you put the gravel back on top of it, and then you angle it out one side, and then when the water gathers there, it goes into the tube and slides out and goes out the direction you want it to go.
But there, it's freeze thaw. So we can't do, I don't think we can do the PVC that high up. Or even at all, because it cracks with freeze-thaw issues.
That's a very good thought.
You know what I mean? So, again, Adam and I don't do drainage in the Midwest, which is a whole other science. But it feels more to me like turn it into a real drain somehow and just let it go where it goes. Otherwise, so much soil would have to fill in there, and then you're creating a new set of problems.
Yeah, don't build it up.
Yeah.
I'm not into the build it up. I'm into the drain. I'm into the drain version of this story, yes?
Yeah, I think so. Or cement. You could do a cement trough, a U-shaped trough.
Oh, make it like a flume.
Literally make it just go away that way.
Yeah, just have it, just do it cement, do it sort of U-shaped, and just make it into a flume.
Huge amount of tree roots there, too, by the way. So that's going to be tough to dig too deep. Otherwise, you start impacting the tree roots.
All right, Stromer, why don't you hit your Geico?
Do you own there? Or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. I said it, Geico. It makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the home. Go to geico.com. Get a quote and see how much you could save. That's Geico. I said it. Geico, easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
All right. You got another question there, Matt?
Yes, we do. This one's from Ryan. It's a little long, but let's go. Hey, guys. Huge fan of the show. Writing in for my first time. My house has covered patios on both the front and the back. They're in terrible shape and need to be replaced, but I'm not sure what materials to use for good results. It doesn't show well in photos, but the patios are over the foundation, so I'm not sure what will work best to avoid moisture and insects getting under my foundation. The patios currently have painted half-inch plywood laid down over what I'm guessing was the original porch made of tongue and groove. I've thought about replacing it all with cedar and then just keeping it stained every few years. However, I live near Seattle and we get a fair amount of rain that blows onto the porch, so I'm worried about it penetrating between the boards and pooling under my foundation. The other option is to recover it in new plywood and then paint it with a protective coating, but I'm not as big a fan of that. It looks like a pain in the ass. I'd have to still repaint it. What do you guys think of these options, or maybe you have a better idea?
I hate the plywood. I feel like he should remove the plywood and refinish the old subfloor because it's probably really beautiful.
It looks like 2x6 redwood or something,
yeah, like
or
true,
cedar or
true
something.
True size too. So I think you'd have plenty of room to refinish. But the exterior plywood isn't even going to cut it on a porch that gets rain. That's crazy. It'll separate always.
They have marine grade plywood. This is probably not that.
Right.
But there is such a thing as marine grade plywood. I'm not a fan of the ply. But keep in mind, he doesn't want to remove the ply. I have thoughts about like Dexotex or something, the rubberized, you know, three
going
part,
over that.
Whatever.
Leaving it. Yeah.
Just going full rubber.
Because then it's like how we do our decks out here, where you do the plywood framing and then they pour the Dexatex over. It looks great.
Yeah, Dexatex, Gary, look that up. But here's what you would have to do. You would have to probably tape the seams of the plywood. So you take your plywood and you would.
You could probably leave that plywood and just screw the crap out of it.
I would, it's like self-leveling, rubberized, pour it on and then trowel it off, or use a screed. We're looking at it now. I don't know, is it a two-part?
Yeah, it looks like they pour it on, there's a primer, and then they pour the stuff on, then they squeegee it, level it, and then they put grit on it to keep it from slipping.
Okay, so here's what I would do. You can stop the tape, Gary. Here's what I would do. You ready, Stromer?
Yes, sir.
I would prep the plywood. The plywood looks in decent condition.
Right.
I would prep it. I would make sure it was nailed down, screwed down. Don't nail it down. Screw it down. I would tape the seams with like nylon, joint tape. I would use whatever product for the joints that you spatula on, that you trowel on over the joints. I think there's probably a way to tape those seams first,
Right. With that product, the Dexatex product.
Yeah, but it may be a separate product.
Gotcha.
And I think there's a kind of a joint compound, kind of rubberized, whatever.
Right.
Then I would do the whole Dexatex rubber coating system, whatever color you want. I would make the only thing I'm thinking about is building it up a little closer to the house so it flows. Throw a level on that bad boy and make sure that thing's got the pitch on it that you want, right?
Yeah, but you definitely have to find those boards and find where the seams are and screw right dead in the center and do maybe one every 12 to 16 inches for sure.
So you screw it down, you make sure it's secure, you make sure the pitch is going, it probably is pitching away from the front of the house and out toward the yard. And then I would do the seams, pick a color, do the Dexatex rubberized system, and that once that rubber's on there, it's pretty bulletproof.
Yeah, and cover the edges with a 1x6 or something, or 2x6, something like that, to lose that look. I don't like it.
Or flash it with some like sheet metal or something like that. I would flash it. Yeah. I don't think I would do wood.
Yeah, probably not.
I would flash it with like some sort of
it's basically sheet metal. It's basically like when they do townhome balconies. Whatever system the company would use, that would be the flashing, and then the flashing has a little screed edge to it, and that's what you use to level it out.
Yeah, you take L flashing, big L, like 5-inch or 4-inch L flashing, you just flash the edge, you get a good sharp edge all the way around the thing, and then bring the Dexatec to the edge of the flashing, right?
Yep, that's it. No movement is the key on the plywood, nothing. Screwed down.
We're quite a team here, Woo! Stromer.
It's hot.
Move over, Matt. There's a new gay sheriff in town.
His name?
Gary. Stromer.
Oh, Stromer.
I believe that it was at Tiffany.
I thought you were about to launch into I Believe the Children Are the Future.
No, no. I was going to launch into, shit, it wasn't Tiffany. It was the other 80s mall pop chick.
No, wait, not hit. I Think I'm Alone Now. I Think I'm Alone
that
Now.
That was Tiffany, I think. And then there was Deborah, what's her name, who had the Only in My Dreams.
Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson had a hit called Only in My
Dreams. Yeah, she did. I loved it.
And that could be our song.
Let's hear it.
Let's see if we can find it.
It's our song. There it is. Yeah.
This song hasn't aged a second.
Nope. There she is.
Not a second. This could be a Pearl Jam song from last week. So in this video, I would say that I'm Debbie Gibson.
Every time telling secrets,
and I remember how you do. And she has an age. I mean, she has her look is as contemporary as if she put it together yesterday. Right?
Yeah.
Everyone just went like, I'm just going to dress like Madonna. It's 1985.
No. Start again. Can't remember.
She was a huge star in the 80s.
I can't remember when. Here's the car's head. No. Only in my dreams. It's real as it may seem. It was only in my dreams.
Oh, this song.
Can you imagine Matt on one of those mechanical bulls, slow motion?
I see a montage of he's on the merry-go-round, and I'm behind him on the horse, hanging on tight. Also, with Home Improvement as a theme, I'm painting, and then he turns his head around the corner, and I paint right over his head. Because you know you paint right to left. You never go up and down.
No, you don't.
No, when you're doing a bedroom, you go...
That's right.
You go like the prime meridian. Yeah. You go right to left. And when someone's painting in a room and you're going to order lunch, never walk into the room. Always just peek your head around.
That's right. There it is.
It's kind of... Got the good-looking dude on the beach. She's wearing the leather Madonna gloves.
Yeah, she's got to have them.
Oh, there he is.
Sick.
Oh, shattered. Yeah. Oh, generic sax solo.
Yes.
Just when you thought it couldn't get better.
Yeah. I hope the guy's wearing a day glow schmuck playing that sax. Oh, yeah. Pre-AIDS, mid-Coke, everyone. The best time to be alive.
Yeah. There's a breakdown.
Again, this is timeless.
Yeah.
You have no idea where this era of music is from.
This song makes
me... She literally just dressed like Madonna in the middle of this song.
This makes me want to do violent things.
This is our song. No.
I love that move, though, man.
A lot of outfit changes. Yeah. Stromer, I bet your hair looked like Debbie Gibson's in 1986.
Man, are you kidding me? It still does.
You guys hip to Debbie Gibson?
Something happened to the sax. The sax became huge because of Careless Whispers, and then everybody started playing. Yeah.
Did you have to play it in a dilapidated warehouse with no
one
around?
Yeah, the sax you had to play alone.
It's a lonely instrument.
Yeah, in a busted down warehouse, and you you played alone. That's a lonely instrument, the sax.
You know what I mean? I've taught my son how to do a sax solo where you stand up, you put your foot on the wedge in the front of the stage,
oh,
and you got to push you lean forward back. And lean
yeah.
back. Push put your that groin out. The audience, right?
I have a real question for you, Stromer.
Yes, sir.
What would you rather have floating around on the internet from when you were 24 years old?
Okay.
Hardcore gay sex.
Yeah.
With you as the bottom.
Go on.
Or an 80s video circa, you think about St. Elmo's Fire and Rob Lowe,
yeah,
where you had to play a pretend sax solo,
yeah,
in the middle of it.
I think there's no question.
Like, you'd have the tie headband, you'd have the sleeves cut off, and you'd have like the tiger stripe purple shirt,
yeah,
tight jeans, and you're clearly not playing the saxophone, but you're really going over the top.
There's no,
it's just terms of the humiliation
and your family, you have children.
It's a legacy thing.
I have an immediate
hardcore
answer.
Hardcore gay porn with graphic gay porn with you as the bottom.
Yeah.
Or a sax solo from an 80s song.
Yeah, I instantly knew the answer. Hardcore gay porn.
Absolutely. That's the right. No. He's right. That's the right decision. You made the right decision. Because people are so woke now.
Yeah.
There's no judging going on.
No one would
you might
care.
Get some intersectional points.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It would be friendly
you're,
to me
you're
now.
You're talking about how fluid your sexuality was in the 80s. But that sax solo?
No.
Unforgivable.
It's a scar. It's how the Mormon religion curses bloodlines?
Mm-hmm.
It's that.
That's what it
My
would be.
My entire bloodline would be cursed by a bad sax solo.
Gary, find Rob Lowe playing a sax solo from St. Elmo's Fire.
With a jacket with the sleeves rolled up, I think.
The jacket came off
at a certain point.
Right. And was sleeveless.
Oh,
the thing that's weird about Rob Lowe is he never had the guns, but he didn't care. Those sleeves were gone.
Yeah, guns don't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be you, Stromer.
Ah. Yeah, that's right.
If I was friends with Rob Lowe, this would be playing every time he came to my house. I just have this. I have an edit bay. You know that, Stromer?
Yeah.
I have an edit bay. I would
just loop it.
I would loop it. It'd be on all
the time. And your whole family would wear that outfit.
This would be.
I just looped it for you.
Oh, thank you.
So good.
Headband.
Yeah. Oh, that's
all
big.
Right.
Wait. You notice I've got kind of bat eyes on my shirt.
Yeah.
Sort of similar to Rob's bats on his sleeveless shirt.
Yeah, it was Halloween,
by the way,
at St. Elmo's Fire. That was his outfit. All right, Stromer.
See?
Let's see. A week from today.
It's important to pose these life-altering questions every now and then where you pit...
Yeah, yeah. No, you
gay,
have to.
Bottom gay porn and total sex humiliation.
Right.
And thank you for making me reach deep into that bag.
No, look. It's a tough choice, but you made the right decision. Hey, 1 week from today, March 21st, Los Angeles Peterson Automotive Museum, we're doing a car show. Maybe we can convince Stroman to bring his bone stock
tundra
down. Hey, you guys ever seen a cloth bench seat before?
Well, take a look, kids.
Come down.
Line up and get in.
Yeah.
Spill your drink on it. I don't give a rat's ass.
Random drywall screws rolling around.
It won't come out, but bring it anyway.
We're doing a car show there, and then we're also going to show Shelby American, the doc.
And playing Only in My Dreams, obviously.
I'll have a couple of cars out there. What's that part where Madonna comes out with the video and looks like Madonna, and then you go, oh, or we're doing our video now. Okay, well, you should dress like Madonna. And then does anyone raise their hand and go, well, that is she dress? No, that's what Madonna does. We have to come up with a new look, and it's like... She has a wardrobe and a stylist, right? And the stylist is going, no, we're going to dress like Madonna. And you got to go, wait, she's a blonde pop singer and I'm a blonde pop singer. So I need to dress
exactly like her.
Right. But when they say Billie Eilish looks like Billie Eilish and Rihanna looks like Rihanna, they don't try to look like the same.
No.
Weird 80s thing, right? Where it was just going to look the same.
Did I tell you my Thanksgiving with Madonna story? I've had one.
Oh yeah.
I
can't believe you chambered it this long.
Well, I was talking to her friend Carlos, the original guy that she had the kid with, and then while we were getting along and having a nice conversation, she looked at me and said, "Who is him? Who is this guy?" Mm-hmm. And that was the extent of my conversation with
her. Oh, really? Was that at Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving dinner, yeah.
Where? Went
down in Florida. And her brother Christopher and my wife were working on John Cicada's tour.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife was a choreographer, and we stayed at her house and then had dinner at some point there. And that was my experience. It was incredible. Wow. My wife did Madonna's tour, too. She choreographed that years ago.
Which tour?
Girly, my dream girly show. No.
My favorite Madonna story is when she was on Truth or Dare.
Oh, the Kevin Costner one?
No. This was much better, and it's on brand for the show, for a theme. She's like, she had her chubby assistant, and her chubby assistant was like, "I went out last night, and I had drinks, and I woke up this morning, and I was naked, and I was bleeding from my ass." And everyone's like, "You dope. Why'd you go out and have drinks?"
That's
kooky. And they're making fun of her. I think we've changed a little with the Me
Too. A little
bit.
The woke thing changed.
I feel like someone would have called the cops.
Yeah,
in today's era.
A rape kit.
They literally were on camera making fun of her and laughing.
I know it.
Yeah.
I know it. Those were the days. God bless the 90s.
Simpler times, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live stand-up shows. And you can get Uppity or Shelby American. You can just go to Chassis, Chassy.com if you like. Also, Rob Cistanino has a podcast at Podcast One, and you can check that out as well. Until next time, Adam Carolla for X-Drummer Sam. Mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com.
This is Corolla Digital.